Meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join Eagle Scout Gransard in the Pledge of Allegiance. No, you can come on up.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any item, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and tell us what you'd like to tell us. Representative Skronsky, good evening.
Good evening. How's everybody in this wonderful evening? It's good that the meeting's inside instead of outside. So it's good to be here, and again, thank you. I'm here to speak in the COPAR item on the agenda tonight. I'd like to speak when it would come up also. I do have some real questions about having that particular business in the community. I'm sure the community could do better. And I did view other sites of that particular business. So I will speak not in favor of that particular business. Thank you, Your Honor and Council.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing no one else rise, I'll close citizens' comment period. Move on to mayoral announcements. First one is a report from our Emergency Operations Command staff for the COVID emergency, which would be Health Officer Day. Fortunately, our reports are getting shorter and shorter.
Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the updates. I'll just go briefly over some updates on numbers and testing and then answer any questions that you might have over the last 2 weeks. So currently right now, the amount of testing that's been occurring in the state has risen dramatically, which is a good thing. We wanted anyone who wanted to be tested to have the opportunity to do so. So right now, the positivity rate for Franklin, which is the percentage of tests that were done that are positive compared to the total, is 7.8%, which is slightly above the state average of 6.7%, but well below the county average of 14%. It's important to note that that is just the rate of testing, not the infection rate within the community. The infection rate would be the number of individuals who are ill against the total population, and there's not really a great way to measure that at this point. So we kind of use what we have. It's not the best data. It's not the best science by any stretch, but we use what we have, and I can tell you that that number, at least for the Franklin side, has been moving in the right direction. About 3 weeks ago, the positivity rate here was about 12%, so the fact that we've come down 4% means that we're getting a lot more people tested, and I'm not an epidemiologist by nature, but what I've been told from those that are is that if your rate is under 10, that you're testing at a good rate to get a good number for your community. So the fact that that number is trending down while the number of tests keeps going up is a good sign for us. Then on the testing side of things, the city of Milwaukee still has two testing sites. The UMO site on Chase is the site that's been there. This is its third week. The north side of the city, that testing site has moved to Custer Stadium at Barack Obama High School, which is on Fairmount Avenue. We have the links for these testing sites on the city website as well as our Facebook page. And then a little bit closer to home, starting on Thursday, on June 4th, there will be a community testing site at the Cudahy Water Utility, which is 5110 South Lake Street, from 11 to 7 during the week and 11 to 6 on Saturday. And again, this testing site is open to anyone that wishes to be tested, regardless of symptoms, and you do not need an appointment. So those three testing sites are up and running for any resident wishing to be tested that couldn't do so through their provider. And then finally, just wanted to say a big thank you to all of the businesses and clubs and youth sporting organizations within the community for reaching out to us at the health department to get thoughts and suggestions on how they could reopen or do things safely with regard to safe distancing and that type of thing without just kind of reopening full bore and putting people's safety and health at risk. So we do appreciate anybody calling us and asking for advice and tips. And if anybody still needs to call us or they want to tweak the plan that they started out with, please continue to call and email us. We're glad to help.
There's a couple of three that I want to call out specifically. One that was ahead of the game was Point After. They specifically wanted to get ahead of it because they were obviously open for curbside service and wanted to be ahead of it. And they wanted to be as open as quickly as possible. So they got out ahead of it quickly. So I just wanted to mention that. Rock Ventures met with us early within that week, and presented a plan that was very comprehensive and in their favor to help us out. They presented a very comprehensive plan for all of their various operating units and permitted us to use that and share it with other communities. So that's helped the rest of the area with recreational facilities and unique facilities. So that's very good. And then I don't know if anybody's been looking at Facebook, but we knew that Mimosa would slowly open because we all know Apostoli, he wants to do things right. And he put his plan out on Facebook. And when you go have breakfast there, you're going to have three people taking care of you, each with a very specific assignment and very detailed jobs to do in terms of and how they do it, various sterilization, and it's pretty interesting. But he put that on Facebook. So there's three very unique organizations that are doing things very well for us. So it's a credit to our community. Any questions for the director? Alderman Nelson.
Hi, good evening. Thank you, Ms. Day. Quick question. Any update on the House of Correction? A few things. Number one, are they open in the annex? And for those that don't know, this has been a kind of a big expansion. So I don't know if you know this or not, but if they are open, and approximately how many, because I believe these were state prisoners coming in that are COVID, or are you just a little touch base?
Sure, yeah, and I did reach out to them today. I thought that the question might come up. So the Louder building is what they're using for what's called an alternative care facility. So it's similar to what was constructed at State Fair Park, but this facility would be specific to inmates from other jails, correctional systems throughout the state if it were to be needed. At this point, it is not yet open. There are still some issues to be worked out with the Corporation Council with various correctional facilities that are interested in utilizing it. So the MOU hasn't been signed yet. So it is not in operation. I don't have an ETA on that. It's with their Corp Council. As far as who's coming in, we were able to get some information from the county's Emergency Operations Center of sort of how they're going to judge who is the best fit to come to this facility. And it's based not only on the crime they committed, but also what type of inmate they are. So even if somebody is incarcerated for a low-level crime that wouldn't necessarily be considered violent, but they are an inmate that might react differently or act out. So that would be somebody that would not be eligible to come here, and our House of Correction does have the right of refusal for anybody to come.
Thank you.
I think you all saw the letter I sent. Some even distributed it publicly. I did get a response to that. If anybody's interested in the response, I'll be happy to share that privately. Alderman Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Courtney, for your update. I just want to remind everybody, and I want to commend, first of all of those that are wearing a mask. This thing is not over, despite what we see on TV with all of the crowds gathering together and persons not wearing masks and being huddled together. It's not over yet. We're going to see a spike, and I hope I'm wrong in that, and I may be proved wrong in that. But I may be proved right. So I commend those who are wearing their mask and those who are practicing 6 feet physical distancing. And I would recommend, Mayor, that we look at that a little closer and we practice what we preach. we're not above the recommendations that we're making. So we should be practicing what we're preaching and wearing our masks and staying 6 feet apart. You're doing a pretty good job, but I'm sure if we measure, you're not 6 feet. And in fact, now they're saying 6 feet may not be enough. And part of it, too, is being in the same room for a period of time. It's not just that instant contact. It's being here for a couple of hours, which we are often. So I think we need to practice what we preach and continue. There's a reason that the 4th of July is canceled. There's a reason the state fair is canceled. There's a reason other things happen. It's not over yet, and we need to listen to the experts. Courtney, anything wrong in anything I said? Anything you want to add?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? One item on finance. Do you want to talk about the FEMA money and the money that the governor's?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a number of pools of funds that are made available to the city. FEMA is a federal emergency management association. The city has applied for a grant with that organization. That grant would cover 75% of the costs associated with purchase of PPE. The unbudgeted employees that we may hire to help fight the pandemic in our community, and any overtime for budgeted persons that are involved in protecting the community against issues related to the pandemic. Recently, the governor announced a grant for Wisconsin communities related to combating the pandemic. The city of Franklin is eligible for $585,000 associated with that. But again, those eligible costs are unbudgeted employees in the health or public safety area. So if we hire people who were not budgeted, then those costs can be covered. The purchase of unbudgeted PPE, so if we have to buy extra PPE, but also if our health department ends up doing a greater effort than what we would normally have in contact tracing, those costs are also eligible. So from a standpoint of the eligible costs that we have from the state, most likely it's going to be FMLA or sick time for employees who contract the disease or are needing to be away from their job related to that, or contact tracing. But all of those extra costs that the city might have are eligible for coverage by these two grants.
And this money is reimbursement. It's not upfront.
It is a reimbursement type situation.
And Paul said on both of these funds, it's for PPE. And we have PPE, so let's all not get excited about $585,000, because maybe Representative Skowronski, can you find out where that $570,000 leftover money is going to go, and who's going to get it? Because we're not going to spend it.
The governor's office doesn't really give out much information, but I will call tomorrow.
Yeah, find out where that extra money that we're not going to be able to take advantage of. That'd be great. Thank you. We're going to try to do some enhanced contact tracing, and we'll see where that heads out. Any other questions for staff? Thank you, Courtney. Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
can I
make one more point? We started the videoing because of COVID, because of the emergency measures taken. I hope that when this is over and we can see ourselves clear, we can continue the videoing, because I think it's a really important addition to our meetings.
Yeah, we need to change our ordinance to make this a standard thing rather than an emergency thing. And we need to find some money to buy permanent equipment that doesn't require staff to be here. So, yes, we need to do some work, but yes, we intend on doing that. Thank you. Appreciate the support on that. Item B is an informational item. In your packet, there was a letter from a memo from the fire chief relative to an ISO rating that we get. That's a fire insurance rating. In the past, we've been an ISO rating number 4, which gives insurance rates a rating marked Alderman Dandry can talk more about this, but it sets your insurance rates at. I was shocked when I got this letter earlier in the week, late last week. Our rating went up 2 points to the second highest you can get. The chief has been working long and hard with the rating agency to have them understand how it is that we fight fires in the city of Franklin and actually in Milwaukee County. And our rating went up 2 classes, and it's the second highest you can get, and we can't get the highest rating because that's designed for an individual city in a metro area, such as Milwaukee. So what this means is people in Alderman Nelson's area, unhydrated areas, are going to see a drastic reduction in their rates. Excellent. Because of this. So when you see the fire chief, thank him for his hard work. Just going to mean a lot of money to many constituents. So that's a good deal. So pat him on the back. With that, we move on to regular business. Item C1, approval of the regular common council meeting minutes, May 19th. Any additions or corrections?
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Approval of the special common council meeting of May 28th. Any additions or corrections?
I move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G1 is a project update for Ballpark Commons. Mr. Zimmerman, welcome.
Thank you, Common Council.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. We had a protest that was going to go down, but it was nothing bad up at the Rock. So Mike Zimmerman, Rock Ventures, also a parking attendant for the Milky Way Drive-In. I don't have anything substantial for all of these pieces. I put a memo in your packet last time dated April 2nd that I think finally hit your package in late May. There's nothing substantial that's different. There's a couple of items, but I'll just use that as the baseline to talk. So we have a whole section on infrastructure, and what I would say about the infrastructure is that it's a bit of a who's on first game right now. So your planning department called a summit. Is that what you called it? A summit. So we're going to get all the people in the room to sit down and figure out who is responsible for what. As you may or may not know, one of our major general contractors has since relocated. So that's, I think, a bit of a complication. But we're on it. There's a meeting that will be hopefully put in the schedules in the next week or so. New perspective is. At the goal line in terms of getting open. Velo Village on track, on budget. Things moving very, very fast. Office retail, same update. We are essentially 100% sold out. So we've got an engineering company on the second floor. We've got a coffee shop that's coming in that's ready to get going. It's just they're just waiting for the right time on that. And then Exos opened their shop, and then Wheel and Sprocket is just, they're having a monster year, which is pretty interesting. I'm going to skip the stadium. Mosh Performance Center is, frankly, it's moving a little too fast, which I'm the opposite of that. It's just because we've got to get that thing open in January, so they're actually way ahead of schedule. So what you see there as a reminder is there's two buildings that are connected. One is the medical office building, and then the other is the, now that they're putting up the 76,000 square foot of indoor turf, but they're moving very, very quick on that. Lux Golf hit a bit of a financing snag, but we think we solved that last week by bringing in an additional partner. It's a little more expensive than in the beginning, but in our original memo, we said that it's on hold, but it's now kind of back in action. Hotel, we have Holiday Inn Express that's in, and they're just waiting for the right time. So right now they're targeting like a September start date. Brewpub, still no traction, just not enough time. M1, R2, we are talking to another developer about that. And then there's a whole set of protocols that we installed around COVID-19 impact to date that, is going very, very well. Construction continues to move very, very fast there. The other thing, Courtney talked about it, but the COVID-19 plan, we spent a lot of our time putting together a plan, meeting with the key constituents in Franklin around how we would like to open by certain businesses. That plan has since been adjusted. We're now, I think, like day 14 into our opening, something like that, almost 14 days. And it's going well. I would suggest to you that actually the biggest problem for us is actually getting employees to do it. whether or not they buy into it, not buy into it. So it's very much a leadership management issue that we're frankly struggling with. It's very responsible still. It just doesn't happen as frequently as we want, but we're all over it. Another update is where's the milkman? What's the plan there? We had a owners meeting this morning, and it looks like there's going to be a season here, but there's 12 teams. As a reminder, they're in Texas, Minnesota, Sioux Falls. So essentially, we've got now two, potentially three stadiums. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up what we're referring to as a pod structure. We're essentially now, for this area, we will host two, maybe three teams will become their home venue until their facility is ready, and then they'll spin out. So what we think is interesting about that is we'll still limit capacity per our COVID plan, but we think that there's just going to be supply and demand. So if we can do 1,200, 1,500 people, which is about a third of our capacity, you know, we think that that'll be, I mean, the market will ultimately dictate that, but, you know, they'll essentially, you know, could be a game going on every night. And there's also really interesting national broadcast opportunities that are being presented to us that could, you know, from a tourism, just from, you know, Franklin being on the map. So we're really excited about that. We just got that news today. I mean, the Milky Way is, you know, that's the, I don't know if you want to call it the elephant in the room, but obviously a lot of folks here spent a significant amount of their time dealing with noise complaints. We've worked very, very hard on that. I think over the last 4 or 5 days, our complaints have significantly reduced. So there's still things that we're doing, bringing in a sound consultant, but we, you know, think we're heading in the right direction in terms of that. We continue to do sound checks. We're not hitting our decibel meters, but that in the end really doesn't matter if complaints come in, and we recognize that, understand that. But just in the first, I think whatever it was, as through Sunday, we did well over 10,000 people that rolled through. And you got to take that by 3.5 divided by 3.5. That's the number of cars. So that's a lot of traffic that's coming in. But while that might sound scary, it's very responsible traffic. While some people do get out of the car, it's done very well. All the employees are in masks. So I guess what I have, I was hoping to have a really big update for you guys. So you're gonna have to wait another meeting, but there could be a meeting tomorrow that could become very interesting for the city. Minor league baseball has changed the way that they're doing business, and that could mean really good things for the city of Franklin. So I'll just leave that teaser with you now, because there could be a whole nother, not like a Milky Way, let's get permits in type of teaser, Sandy, but it could be an interesting opportunity for the city. And the other thing I just want to address masks, just because we've spent a lot of time kind of thinking about masks, and I kind of felt like I was getting told that if I'm not wearing a mask, that that's not responsible. We've done a lot of research on masks, and what we find is when we all use them is in the end people aren't using them right. And, you know, Dan, just as I counted 9 times you touched your masks. So while I appreciate the sentiment, I think, you know, the data suggests a bit different if you're not using it right. So I did want to say that because, you know, I have a different point of view on it. So,
well, since you did call on me, I guess I do need to address that. Thank you. Mike, I tend to listen to the experts in the issue, and that's where I get my information. That's why I'm wearing a mask, and I'm touching it to adjust it to make sure it's in the right place. I do wash my hands after that, so the point is it stays covering where it's supposed to be covering. My other question would be for the Milky Way. You mentioned that, and I know there were complaints in the beginning, and they seem to have died down. That's good to hear. I know you're addressing that, and I like the fact that you addressed the noise complaint rather than the meter reading. So I appreciate that. Mr. Mayor, when will the hearing be for the permanent licensing for the Milky Way?
When the application gets filed, and that was not yet, right?
That's still on track to be soon.
Yeah, it's just
expedited.
Yeah, we're furloughed crew. We're doing the best we can.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, one last thing. You're more or less a partner with Mike on this, representing the city. Really, it's you two guys are the big ones. All of us up here have our home phone number or a cell phone number listed on the website or on the newsletter, but you do not. You have City Hall, the office here. If people need to get to you at other hours, what should they do? How should they call you? contact you?
Well, they should call their alderman, and their alderman can get me.
Okay, then he should continue forwarding everything to you.
Sure.
Everything, okay. He will continue doing that.
Because it's important to note that I'm not a super alderman, I'm the mayor. The aldermen are the aldermen.
Mr. Mayor, this is your project. This is your project.
No,
you are the
project.
Champion of this project, Mr.
This
Mayor.
Our project.
This is, you are the champion of this project. You are the CEO of this community. Any complaints need to come to you. You need to be aware of all of the complaints since you're the CEO and you're the champion of this project. This is, you're a partner. You're a full partner in this project. So don't tell me I'm supposed to do something about this because there is nothing I can do. This comes to you. You are the boss. It doesn't go any higher than you. Thank you.
I'd like to just make comment. I actually disagree with that last part. I think the entire city, I mean, you're well documented that you don't support the project, but the common council supported it. The city, this is a city project. The other thing that I want to remind people of is, as part of our PDD, we set up a complaint form on our website, so if people have complaints, they are also suggested to use that too. So I would remind your constituents that they can use that. And it's important to a certain extent because I know, you know, certain people don't want to give their name and their address, which is fine, but we need general information, right? We need to know where the sound's coming from. We need that so we can address the solution. So issuing a complaint without any data behind it is very difficult for us. We feel like we're chasing ghosts many times. So we would that form doesn't get hit as much. What does happen is you guys your phones go, but when we sat down and we did this a long time ago, we said let's try to channel the complaints. So I'd like to, you know, also suggest, Dan, that if you can remind people that that form has been set up to do that.
And how do they get to that form?
So they just go to our website. It's actually on rockventures.org, and it's relatively easy to navigate. If you feel differently, I can certainly make it look different and make it call it out more.
Is there a number they can call to get quicker response?
We prefer not.
We all prefer not.
I understand.
Madam Clerk.
So that's a no.
I mean, is it a no? Let me think about it.
Madam Clerk.
I just want to address one of Alderman Mayer's concerns, and that is the mayor receiving complaints. Not that I'm going to be clerk for another 35 years, and not that I'm going to continue monitoring my email for 24 hours a day, but during the first weekend, whenever a complaint came in online, so people go on the city's website, fill out the form, hit send, it comes to me. I'm going to say within 5 minutes of me getting a complaint, I forwarded it to the mayor, so he was... and planning and the police department. So he received those complaints rather than wait until the next business day, which during Memorial Day was 4 days later. He got them within 5 minutes of the complaint and filing the complaint.
So I guess the takeaway for anyone listening is to go online, continue filling out those forms. We're assured by the city clerk the mayor receives those complaints in a timely fashion.